हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त बृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 25, Madhya Lila, How All the Residents of Varanasi Became Vaishnavas. Okay. In the verse beginning, Aham Eva, the word Aham is expressed three times. In the beginning, there are the words Aham Eva. Then the second line, there are the words Paschad Aham. At the end are the words Somyaham. This aham indicates the Supreme Person. By the repetition of aham, the transcendental personality who is complete with six opulences is confirmed, right? Because he said it three times about aham, meaning I, right? Because if it was just, you were just being metaphorical, that you wouldn't mention it three times. So repetition, right? So by that process that, what's his name? Jiva Goswami was mentioning the Sandarbha, how we're establishing the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam and, you know, and Krishna's position and the Vedanta Sutra and all those relationships by this, the Tatparya Lingas, or the six different aspects of Mimamsa. So then it's mentioned, that anything that's repeated, that means then there's something important there. And so this aspect of this importance here then is okay. Impersonalists do not accept the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is stressed in this verse in order to impress upon them the necessity of accepting him. Therefore, the word aham is mentioned three times. To stress something important, one repeats it three times. Lord Krishna continued, actual spiritual knowledge, jnana, and its practical application, vijnana, are considered in all these sound vibrations. Because you're going to have knowledge is what you're going to is you gain knowledge, and then having gained knowledge, then you're going to practice it and apply it. So that application, that is what you call vijnana, right? Because then vijnana becomes that you have the position that you understand what's going on, and so. To understand what's going on, then you value it. So therefore, you apply yourself. You know. Although the external energy comes from me, I am different from it. Sometimes the reflection of the sun is experienced in place of the sun, but its illumination is never possibly independent of the sun. When one is transcendentally situated, he can perceive me. This perception is the basis of one's relationship with the Supreme Lord. Now let me further explain this subject matter. Srila Prabhupada. Real spiritual knowledge has to be received from revealed scriptures. After this knowledge is attained, one can begin to perceive his actual spiritual life. Any knowledge achieved by speculation is imperfect. One must receive knowledge from the parampara system and from the guru. Otherwise, one will be bewildered and will ultimately become an impersonalist. Right? Because impersonalism, you know, means that we're not actually seeing things, how they connect to the person. Right? because with times, then you're going you're going to see that the Lord and his energies are not, we're not connecting them to the Lord. We're not connecting them. And so we actually become impersonal because we say it's not Krishna. It's not all Krishna's. It doesn't belong to Krishna. Krishna's not in control of it. There are no laws connected with it. And so because of this, then we're going to have this difficulty that we're not actually seeing things in a proper personal way, right? So in the beginning, we may, you know, not think about these things, but we have to be careful is that with time, if you don't get things from revealed scriptures, you take from other places, then what happens is then you're going, those will become more prominent. And how have those come about? Those other knowledges come about from Dharma, Artha, Kama, or Moksha, you know, from these four levels of material consciousness. And even though they may be well thought out, they may be very clever, they may be very academic or very seemingly logical, but it doesn't mean that they will lead one to the Supreme Lord. So that's the difficulty that comes up as we can get distracted because seeing that the knowledge is descending, the Lord reveals it. And so then we have to be very careful about this. One who very, it means, in other words, so much knowledge can be gained, but you always have to see it in the context of what's given by the Acharyas. So if you use what knowledge you've gained from outside against the Acharyas, then you will become an impersonalist. One who very scrutinizingly deliberates on genuine spiritual knowledge can realize the personal feature of the absolute truth. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always transcendental to this material creation. Narayana paro vyaktat. Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always transcendental. He is not a creation of this material world. So here, Narayana paro vyaktat. Narayana is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's always transcendental. So it's interesting that he's talking about you have to hear from Parampara. Because you want to avoid becoming an impersonalist. And then to establish the point, he's shown that even Shankaracharya has established the Lord as personal. Right? He is not a creation of the material world, you know, as all the other schools other than Vaishnavism will say. Without realizing spiritual knowledge, one cannot understand that the transcendental form of the Lord is always beyond the creative energy. The example of the sun and the sunshine is given. The sunshine is not the sun, but still the sunshine is not separate from the sun. The philosophy of Achinta Bheda Abheda Tattva, simultaneously one and different, cannot be understood by one who is fully under the influence of the external energy. Right? Means one who's fully under can't understand. But then when the living entity comes in contact with the parampara, and that, so even though they may still be under the influence of the material nature, right? I'm just thinking that could you get a citation or something for, what do you call it? A DUI, right? Driving under the influence, right? Of the, like that. Can you get a TUI, thinking under the influence of the material energy? Yeah, maybe. That's the impersonalist, they get that citation. Right. So, therefore, the living entity who has turned his face towards the Lord, right? Because those who are situated in Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, and they're taking that as their goal, and they're not interested in devotion to the Lord. They may accept the Lord, but there's no in devotion. They're antarmukh, right? But the devotee, then they turn their attention towards the Lord, right? So, they're bahirmukh. And so this is antarmukh. They're facing towards the Lord. So they may be within the material nature. They may still be influenced by the material nature. But the point is because of the contact with the parampara, they can understand the personal feature of the Lord and move forward progressively, step by step. Consequently, a person under the influence of material nature cannot understand the nature, the form, or the personality of the absolute. They can get a concept there's an absolute. They may have their own ideas of what God is like this. So much of the time, for most people, it's imaginary, their concept. There's a faith, there's an understanding, there's some logic that there is a supreme, there is somebody greater. And so many of the natural attributes, being the creator, maintainer, destroyer, being the judge, being the witness, all these different things, the lawmaker, those things are there. But their relationship with that supreme then is based on, I desire and God fulfills that. Right. And so like that element of being dependent upon the Lord, but not necessarily surrendered to the Lord. Right? They see their dependency, but it's not about serving the Lord. It's just about being dependent that no one else can actually give. So that's intelligent. It's a step forward. You're coming closer to the Lord, but still by the association of the pure Vaishnavas, then one can start to understand actually what's one's relationship with the Lord and move properly forward. So they may accept the absolute truth, but they may have a very foggy understanding, more imaginative. They might accept what the Shastra says, but then see that he's also under the modes of nature. So all these things, except for the pure Vaishnav Siddhanta, all others are tainted with the material tinge. And so they don't actually understand God as he is. But those who are willing to accept the position of the Lord based on the scriptures, or even those who are willing to accept that there is the Supreme Lord, then they are in a better situation for appreciating the directions given by the Shastra as then received from the devotees, like that. So when it comes, when it comes down, someone who is accepting that there is religion, that there is God, then that they're better than others, because that's human life is meant for that. Right. 225, 119 to 120. Sri Chaitanya, someone said something?
Maharaj, one.
Yes.
Maharaj, during preaching, we get this question of that what if we start meditating who I am? I am not this mind, I am not this, that, with pure desire to know ourselves. Then we start doing meditation. Then ultimately, after some days, we will be able to reveal who our real self is. And then they argue saying that why we need to refer Vedic scriptures and all, because many saints in past and present, they prefer this method of self-meditation and going deep with pure motive of knowing oneself and absolute truth.
So, and how is that working out for everybody? They say many saints, but those saints aren't in some kind of parampara?
No, they don't have. Like this person is following Sadhguru. He mentions they have meditation sessions and they get some experience of divine.
Okay, great. Nice. Just take his phone number and call him back after 6 months. You can, it means the living entity is free to do whatever he likes. But the thing is that's knowing the self, but even you know the self and that you're the Atma. But the point is that's not enough. Because the Atma being Sat Chit Ananda, as Atma, they're only addressing the existence of themselves. What about the transcendental knowledge? What about transcendental activities and transcendental willpower? Where will that be manifest? Because that won't manifest within the material platform. And they're only using their senses and all those things. So the point is that we're making is that the self is transcendental. The soul is transcendental. So how are you going to perceive something transcendental through the senses and the mind?
Correct.
Right? The soul is self-revealing. Your meditation with your mind and senses and your regulation, that's not going to reveal who you are. It can't. How can it do that? The soul is beyond. So that's why then you go to the parampara of those who are in that line who can show you what actually it is. So yes, you can. They says, oh, we don't need to follow the scriptures. And they're following Sadhguru. Where does he get his stuff from? Does he use the term yoga? Does he use the term dhyan and all that? These are not Sanskrit words coming from Shastra. So, you know, what do they mean? We don't need to listen to Shastra.
They actually focus more on experience, Maharaj. Then it's become very difficult.
It's experiential, but if they don't base it on Shastra and yoga, you know, he's sitting there teaching you, you know, how to do the different asanas and all this. Where did he get that from?
He never
He doesn't refer, but the point is anybody who knows yoga, he gets it all from the scriptures.
Correct.
He may put it together in his own way. Just because he doesn't mention it doesn't mean that, you know.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? So this idea that, oh, you can do without the scriptures. What do you mean? Who's doing without the scriptures?
Yes,
and like that, yeah, okay, go for it, you know. Well, you know, give us a call in 6 months.
Yes, sir.
And move on to the next person. The point is if they're not interested, what can you do?
Actually, intellectually, he gets very convinced with our philosophy and referring Vedas and all. But then he gets carried away by experience. So then he's not able to put intellect and Vedic Shastras over experience.
Therefore, you do what you can and move on. There are other people, right? Okay. That guy, check that off. Okay, now there's another 7 billion people to go.
Yes, Maharaj.
Right. And yes, now, of course, with the traveling and all that being restricted outside India, so I'm sorry, you'll have to satisfy yourself with 1.4 billion people. So pick that one off. Go to the other 1 billion, you know, 300 and, you know, 99, you know, million, like that, you know, we'll call it that.
Yes, thank you, Alan.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Guru Maharaj?
Hi, yes.
Hare Krishna, may I ask you, what is the level of those, what is the level of those Christians, theologists who say that we are souls, and they say that they can see that we are souls, but they see impersonal aspect of soul and God, express difference between God and a soul, and also they don't understand that soul is eternal in past also. They consider that soul was created with body in same time. What is the level of the consciousness? Is it
Jnana? It depends. I mean, it can be a mix, because the thing is their understanding of God is not very clear, and they put a lot on being good, being nice, and all that. So there's going to be a strong, culturally, they're going to be basically having the aspect of, you know, your social and all that of pranamoy, right? And then at the same time is they accept that God is there and it's his laws and we have to follow his laws. But then it's only, you know, in as much as deals within the aspects of going to heaven and all that. So you have that part of their samanamoy. And then like this, there's a touch of that impersonal things like that. But they're not actually looking for liberation. They just don't have enough information about God. You know, so they're kind, I would have a tendency to say, in general, they're going to be in between the pranamoy and manamoy. You know, depending on, some issues will be more this way, some will be more that way. Mm-hmm. You know, be good, be nice, you know, do social welfare work. That's going to be more pranamoy. But, you know, you have to follow God's laws and things like that. That'll be more manamoy.
Guru Maharaj, and one of them, his name is Palama. He's the founder of Orthodoxy Theology. And he said that by spiritual practice and austerities, everyone can see the Father light. The tradition Father light is a like a Brahman light of God. And
yeah, I mean, It means then there, if they're more austere and all this and that, then they might be a little bit more towards the Vijnana Maya. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be within that. Because the point is it's a little bit mixed because, you know, it just, see, the in these kind of things, that's what we're going to be. But that's when Prabhupada deals with that. Then the essence that he's pointing out is that the living entities, then their position is that that the soul by nature is servant, right? Lord Chaitanya makes that point first. And as servant, that's their inherent nature. Now we see by rendering service in the material world, they're not satisfied. They're looking for something more. You know, even if they go beyond, it becomes selfless, it's for the community and this and that, but still there's something more to be had. So the actual point is that when you accept that there's God, then you're going to take up that aspect of service to God, right? And then see everything else in the context that if the world belongs to God, then how you deal with the world is how God would want you to deal with the world. And so you perform your duties from that position. And the ultimate point of that service is then that devotion in which you develop your love for God. So in other words, religion should help you develop love for God. So in all these things, you want to emphasize that aspect. Because otherwise, these other things, they, you know, they come up here and there, and they can be a bit, you just whatever position they're taking, like you're talking to someone there about the light, you know, they're saying you see the light of God. And some, yes, that's very nice, but that's the point. It's the light of God, right? You know, the point is where does light come from? We see that when there's light, it's coming from something. Sunlight comes from the sun. You know, the light is coming from fire. So that means if there's light, you know, coming from God, then God, there's God there who the light is coming from. So the light is just, God is so effulgent with good qualities, unlimited good qualities, that there's that unlimited, in Sanskrit we say the Brahma Jyoti, you know, that unlimited effulgence of the Lord. And so in the beginning, yes, one may see that effulgence. And it's something wonderful because it's coming from God. But even more wonderful then is the person that's behind that. So therefore, the Vaishnava understanding is we're supposed to develop love for God. Let's develop love for the person that's there and develop a personal relationship with the Lord. And so that eternal relationship goes on. Don't worry about this. At least they accept that there's a soul, there's God. You know, there's something like this. You know, there's that subservience to God. Take those things there. And then show how those can move forward and become more perfected.
Guru Maharaj, may I ask one more question?
Yes.
Saint of Muslim Sufis, Jalaluddin Rumi, and also his few followers, they say that the soul came from the in the material world. It came from transcendental world of God, and the soul and the what was the dealing of the soul in that kingdom? That a soul always observed God, and was it was like just only her ability was always to see God and to be pleased by His beauty. Is it similar to level of Ashtanga Yoga? And will it be Jnanamoy position, or it also Vijnanamoy, or it's beginning of Anandamoy?
It means they're accepting God as a person and all that, but the point is that you're taking it that, you know, like you said, that the you have the aspect of Shanta where you're appreciating the position of God, the beauty of God, the creation of God, these aspects like that. You know, so how far they're taking it, you know, if there's that personal, you know, interactions and these kind of things. So there's going to be something there, you know what I'm saying? Because religion is coming down from the Lord, but how much they're catching, who catches, people get distracted quite easily. And so then they're going to, in that distraction, then, you know, they'll have some aspect is there and they'll be inspired by it. You know, I mean, you have in the Old Testament where they talk a bit about how Adam and Eve were walking with God. Right. But then the difficulty comes is that, you know, that. So you can observe that and that, but do you want to just stay at that position or you'd like to move forward into a personal relationship where you actually interact with God? You know what I'm saying? So if they set this kind of position, then you see is that what it is, because generally speaking, what you have is much of these, they all have kind of a mix. So yet just each position, what it is, you know what to do with it. Does that make sense? You know, so that they're talking about God as a person and all that, then that's very nice. And so then that would be that they're touching on that aspect of Ananda Maya. But the point is it should be that it's about, is it about devotion to God, or is it still just about that he's there and then, you know, we'll pray to God and get our material facilities or go to heaven or stuff like that. If that's the aspect, then it'll be Manamoy. Because Manamoy accepts the personal form of the Lord, as the Shastra says, but they don't have an interest in worshiping him in devotion. They respect the Lord, but there's not an interest of devotion. So they're not trying to establish eternal relationship. They just see him as he's the Father, he's the one that can sanction whatever it is that we want. We perform our sacrifices, or, you know, our austerities or our worship. And then from that, we'll get the particular benefits that we want to get. Does that make sense? So that will be Manamoy. So Manamoy is that they accept the personality. But it's not that they have an interest. Just like you can accept that a person, you know, there's some big personality that everybody knows. You know they're a person. You accept they're a person. But it's not that you necessarily want to meet the person or talk to them. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So it'll be quite it doesn't have a problem that they know that God is there.
Guru Maharaj, if they want to be always near God and see him, are they more close to the Patanjali Muni school or to the Ramanuja Acharya?
No, but to see and that, but the point is that's nice to be near. Right, you know, that you have the four kinds of Vaishnava liberation. So to be near the Lord, then that's nice. But then once you're near, wouldn't you, since we said before, the soul by nature is servant. So wouldn't we want to apply that service mood when we get near the Lord to render service? Right? You know, and so that would be the kind of aspect. So therefore, we want to come in contact with those who are near God, and so that we can, you know, follow in their footsteps and therefore then serve God. So we always see ourselves as servants of the servants of God. There are those who are servants of God. And then so therefore then who's near, then we try to, we follow in their footsteps.
Mm-hmm. I just want to know how to identify themselves when I will write about them. What is the position? Is it yoga or beginning of bhakti?
The thing is that bhakti means is they want to be near the Lord, but for what purpose?
Service.
If it's service, then yeah, it'll be going towards that aspect. But the point is that service then should be seen in the light of love for God, that you're doing the service to please God. I mean, we may be pleased by being near God, but why would we be pleased being near God? Because God is nice to be near, right? So in other words, the happiness that we're getting is coming from God. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the happiness we're getting is coming from God. And so then in that case, then we would want to be involved in that way. So that devotion, that service to God, that's the point that we express, that that's what we're trying to get. So religion is for that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Religion is for that. That's the purpose of religion, is to develop love for God. So if they're inclined towards that, then that means that's a good thing. Right? And so then you see is that has that aspect. But if it's just that, you know, they want to be near God because then, you know, they'll be in heaven and everything's wonderful there and all that kind of thing, then it may be more of the monomoy. But if there's more of the sense of devotion, then that will be, well, be, do more with the monomoy. But it'll be a bit speculative, because unless one hears, Prabhupada was just saying, unless you hear from the parampara, then it will go into impersonalism. So they have to be very careful about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know. Okay. Hare Krishna. Right. 225, 119 to 120. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, quoting Lord Krishna, "What happens to be truth without me is certainly my illusory energy, for nothing can exist without me. It is like a reflection of a real light in the shadows, for in the light there is neither shadows nor reflections." Right? So in the shadow, you might get a reflection off the light, but in the light, you don't have reflections or shadows. It's just light. So in the transcendental position, there is only Krishna. It means everything is Krishna. So if you see something and it's not connected to Krishna, that's illusion. There's nothing that's not connected to Krishna. It's all his energy. So understanding it's all his energy, then you see it in the context of how it connects to Krishna. So therefore, how would I interact with this connected to Krishna? You know, I have my nature, my duties. So what I'm seeing here, does that connect with my duties? If it does, then if there's an option, you know, the time, place, and circumstances are correct, I engage it in Krishna's service. But if I see that the time, place, and circumstances is not correct, or it's not my duty, it may be a bona fide duty, but it's not my duties. Right? You know, it's just like I see is okay, is here's an opportunity to do this particular service. Let's say, oh, you could go and here's a car. We could drive down to the market and get things. But is it my duty to drive that car? You know, do I have a license? Do I actually know how to drive? You know, is that car one that I can use? Right? Because otherwise it may be, you're a person, but the problem is you have a light. If you don't have a license, then you're it's not your job. You do another job. The person with the license, he'll drive the car. You know, or yes, there is someone who's going to go to the market now. So if you take the car, how is he going to go to the market? It is his service, right? And so like that, then you see how it connects with you, even though it's all Krishna, but still it's because Krishna is a person, and it's all about interacting with the devotees, and the devotees are following other devotees. Therefore, then it's not just whimsical that whatever we like. We follow in the footsteps of the acharyas in how we engage ourselves like that. So yes, everything's connected, but still we see how to connect it by following acharyas. Okay, that was footnote 79. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.34. It is the second verse of the Chatushloki. "Now please hear from me about the process of devotional service, Abhideya, which is applicable in any country, for any person, at all times and in all circumstances." Srila Prabhupada. "The cult of Bhagavad Dharma can be spread in all circumstances, among all people and in all countries." Right? So here, Prabhupada is pointing out that Bhagavad Dharma, all circumstances, all people, all countries. Because otherwise some will try to say that you can't do that here. You know, people won't accept that, or this or that. You know, all the person who's saying that is you have to be very careful that they're not saying, well, I don't know how to do it, or I feel uncomfortable, like that. Many envious people accuse the Krishna consciousness movement of spoiling the rigidity of so-called Hinduism, right? That it's only if you're born here in this place, in this family, then you can do these things. But no, it's meant for everybody. So we're the one breaking this down and making it, it can go everywhere. So we're in India and they say, no, this is only for the Hindus. You know, if you take it out to the West, that's not proper, right? And then you take it out to the West. Then when you get to the West, then some people in the West go, oh, we're Westerners. We can't do that. That's an Indian thing. But both of these, these so-called Hindu, you know, the rigidity of so-called Hinduism, that's taking the rules, and the other ones, then they're throwing everything out. The one is that the Hindus think they're the body because they're born in India, and these other think they're the body because they're born in the West. But the cult of Bhagavad Dharma can be spread in all circumstances, among all people, and in all countries. And circumstances means the nature and qualification of the individual you're dealing with. So it's the actual universal thing, because the soul is the servant of Krishna. And at any time, the soul can take that up. They may not be inclined, but they can. This is not actually the fact. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms that devotional service to the Lord, the cult of Bhagavad Dharma, which is now being spread as the Hare Krishna movement, can be spread in every country, to every person, in any condition of life, and in all circumstances, right? So here's God saying it can be done. Who are we to say it can't be? As we saw earlier, then Lord Chaitanya was talking about, you know, using one's intelligence in clever ways to catch the attention of the people. That is there, but the message, the pure message, that can't be adjusted. You're being clever. Right? Bhagavad Dharma does not restrict pure devotees to the Hindu community. Okay. A pure devotee is above a Brahmana. Therefore, it is not incompatible to offer the sacred thread to devotees in Europe, America, Australia, Japan, Canada, and so on. Sometimes these pure devotees who have been accepted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not allowed to enter certain temples in India. Also, some high-caste Brahmins and Goswamis refuse to take prasadam in the temples of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Actually, this is against the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Devotees can come from any country, and they can belong to any creed or race. In the strength of this verse, those who are actually devotees and followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must accept devotees from all parts of the world as pure Vaishnavas. They should be accepted not artificially, but factually. One should see how they are advanced in Krishna consciousness and how they are conducting deity worship, Sankirtana, and Rathayatra. Considering all these points, the envious persons must henceforth refrain from their malicious atrocities. 225-121. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, quoting Lord Krishna, as far as religious principles are concerned, there is a consideration of the person, the country, the time, and the circumstance. In devotional service, however, there are no such considerations. Devotional service is transcendental to all such considerations. Right? So to be engaged in service, anybody can, in any place, any time. Srila Prabhupada. When we are on the material platform, there are different types of religions. Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, and so on. These are instituted for a particular time, a particular country, or a particular person. Consequently, there are differences. Christian principles are different from Hindu principles, and Hindu principles are different from Muslim and Buddhist principles. These may be considered on the material platform, but when we come to the platform of transcendental devotional service, there are no such considerations. The transcendental service of the Lord, sadhana bhakti, is above these principles. The world is anxious for religious unity, and that common platform can be achieved in transcendental devotional service, because that's the part that the religion is for, right? So on the material platform, you have the different religions because they're for a particular person at a particular time and place. But the principle of developing devotion for the Lord, that's universal because every soul can relate to the Lord in devotion. That central feature has to be there. Then other considerations that works for that locale and things like that, that's fine. But the point is it has to be about devotion to the Lord. This is the verdict of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When one becomes a Vaishnava, he becomes transcendental to all these limited considerations. So these world religions, that are coming from at least the Abrahamic, then they are in one form actually Vaishnavas because they accept there's one Supreme Lord and there's supposed to be some kind of relationship or affection or service towards the Lord. But it's just they that being cultivated, then they can come to a very strong position. Like that. This is confirmed by, so one becomes transcendental to all these limited considerations. So this idea, if you're trying to say, no, we're from the West, you can't do these things, then we're trying to maintain the upadis. We're trying to bring the Vaishnav down from the transcendental position down to the mundane platform. And so that's not a service. Right? That's against what Rupa Goswami says about Sarvupadi Vinirguptam. Now, of course, someone may say, but realistically, they're conditioned, so they're comfortable in these kind of situations like that. And so you can say, yes, fine, they're whatever position they're in, use that position to serve the Lord. But it should be the focus is about serving the Lord, about having that devotion to the Lord. That's the main point. But if we make the point, no, the main point is we're Westerners and we want to do Western stuff, then how is that? How is that dealing with transcendental religion? You know, we're saying, oh, we're transcending. They're taking the transcendental position and then relegating that to a material platform, saying it's Indian. So therefore, it drops down to the mundane platform. So it's just another religion like anything else. And so therefore, we're from here. We should be doing these things. But then if we take that, then what is the religion for that place? You know, what is it you're supposed to do? You know, you're from a Christian background, a Muslim background, a Jewish background. What are you supposed to be doing here? You know, because the point is, as you can say is, oh, but we live a lifestyle like this, but in that same locale, the same city, you're going to find people who are following the religion in a way that is coming from its original roots. You'll have Orthodox people there wherever you are in the world. And then saying, no, we're from, then just say is, I am unregulated. I have, very little faith in authority. You know, I am very independent. I want to do it. Then great. But then you just, in your position, chant, offer your food to Krishna, and do what you can. It's a beginning stage. Right? Recognize it for what it is. And then by association and focusing on Krishna rather than focusing on your upadi, and then creating rituals that go along with the upadi, then you just distract people from pure devotional service. They won't get there. Like that. So you have to be very careful about that kind of stuff. You know? Because the point is it is transcendental. That's why everybody could go anywhere and do these things. And if he says, oh, but I'm having trouble because of, I feel uncomfortable. That's because you have more of you identify more with the body and mind. So that means there's more contamination, more attachment. And because of that, then yes, it can be troublesome. So you don't need to trouble yourself. Whatever you can do, do that much for Krishna. But don't try to compare it that is exactly the same as more advanced positions of devotional service of those who can function beyond those upadis. If you try to bring everybody else down to your level, then how is that benefiting? How is that universal? You know what I'm saying? You bring everybody down to the lowest level and that makes everything universal? The point is you have a standard, everybody, you know where you're trying to go. Everybody functions at whatever level you do. You know, the soul is eternal. You get farther this life, nice. If not, then next life you'll continue. You know, but if at the time of death you remember Krishna, you'll go back to Godhead and then you can continue from there. You know, the same training you'll get there. But if you don't, you remember you're a Westerner, then bingo, you'll be back in the West. Right? When one becomes a Vaishnava, he becomes transcendental to all these limited considerations. Right? And so, therefore, as Vaishnava, then what is recommended by the Acharyas, that's the universal principles. Right? Does that make sense? This is confirmed by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, 14:26. Mam chayo vyavicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. The devotional activities of the Krishna conscious movement are completely transcendental to material considerations, right? So you can do it, it's completely transcendental. So this idea that, no, you can only do certain things in certain places and all these kind of things, then they don't actually understand what they're dealing with. Right? That they don't actually understand the depth of what Krishna consciousness is, how the soul and all these things are working, how it works, how it functions. Right? And yes, the principles of Krishna consciousness, those are the important points, those are the main points. But you do have the Acharyas then give practical application of that. That's the science, that's the big yarn. So we have to appreciate that, yes, these things can work. As far as different faiths are concerned, religions may be of different types, but on the spiritual platform, everyone has an equal right to execute devotional service, right? So everybody can perform devotional service from whatever position they're in, you know, whatever is the particular religious thing that they're doing. But you have to understand is the spiritual platform means it's about the soul's relationship with the Supreme Lord and that devotion between them, right? As given, you know, as recommended by the liberated souls. That is the platform of oneness and the basis for classless society, right? Because classless means everybody's a devotee. It doesn't mean that there's not difference in work. Because if you say classless, everyone's the same. Does everybody do the same exact work? You know, like that. We don't, you make no distinction at all. You can't tell the difference. Can't tell the difference. So then there's no families. There's no this because you can't tell the difference between an adult and a child and a man or a woman or this family and that family. And this guy's cooking, but you know, this guy's, you know, fixing the car, but actually they're all the same. So actually, you know, for lunch, he could just fix the car and magically there'll be lunch, you know. Like that, no, it means you have to understand that classless means it's all Vaishnavas. That's what's classless. And then everyone, according to their nature, they engage in their particular occupation. It is Amrita Prabha Bhasya. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur confirms that one has to learn from a bona fide spiritual master about religious principles, economic development, sense gratification, and ultimate liberation. These are the four divisions of regulated life, right? This is the four divisions of regulated life on how you're following from the Vedas, how all these four are engaged in the Lord's service. And if you don't, you know, except from the devotional platform like that, then you may know about these four. But and if you accept the Vedic literature, okay, then you'll do that, but you'll stay within the material confines. And then according to your mundane positions, you can act. If you're not accepting the Vedic literature, then you're going to be working outside of that. And so it will be quite speculative or what is, you know, what is actually left of actual knowledge. These are the four divisions of regulated life, but they are on the material platform. On the spiritual platform, the four principles are jnana, vijnana, tad anga, and tad rahasya. Rules, regulations, and restrictions are on the material platform, but on the spiritual platform, one has to be equipped with transcendental knowledge, which is above the principles of religious rituals. Mundane religious activity is known as smarta vidhi, but transcendental devotional service is called Goswami vidhi. Unfortunately, so many so-called Goswamis are on the platform of smarta vidhi, yet they try to pass as Goswami vidhi, and thus the people are cheated. Goswami vidhi is strictly explained in Sanatana Goswami's Hari Bhakti Vilas, wherein it is stated, Yata kanchanatam yati kamshyam rasa vidhanataha tata diksha vidhanena dvijatvam jayate mrinam. By chemical manipulation, bell metal is turned into gold when touched by mercury. Similarly, when a person is properly initiated, he can acquire the qualities of a Brahmin. The conclusion is that devotional service is open for everyone, regardless of caste, creed, time, and country. The Krishna consciousness movement is functioning according to this principle, right? So therefore, anybody, whatever their background, they take up as coming in the line of the acharyas, the devotional process, they can all follow it. There's nothing to stop that. But you see is that these so-called Goswamis, they still will say, they're born in the Goswami family, so they can do Goswami stuff, and everybody else can't. They can only, follow them. And so, and their qualification is simply being born in that position. So it's actually smarta vidhi. It's not Goswami vidhi. 225, 120. Yes.
Maharaj, one question. So, devotional service, when a devotee comes to bhakti, initially, devotees are, they have conditionings. So with that condition, but somehow senior devotees, they engage them in bhakti, and with time they chant and they follow some rules, but they have the conditionings, the attachments for their own like ways of practicing bhakti in a wrong ways. And with time when they get initiated, like after some time, they feel that, okay, now we got initiated. Now, with their old conditionings, whatever they have conditions, they want to prove that, okay, we can practice bhakti like this also. So
how... Yeah, but the point is what were they initiated into?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Who initiated them? Right? So here. Who initiated them? And then you say their conditionings of their own ideas of bhakti and Vedic ritual and meditation and God and all that. Who did they get that from? Right? It didn't just pop up in their head. They got it from somewhere. Their parents, their family members, the community members. So then the point is if you can do those things, wouldn't you therefore take initiation from those people? But since you took initiation from ISKCON, wouldn't you therefore follow the rules and regulations and the recommendations given by the Goswami?
Yes, Maharaj.
And it's just natural.
Yes.
It's just like, okay, your family, let's say, they were doing, some kind of thing, like this and that. And then you go to a school and you get a degree from that school. So when you go to work, you have to use the knowledge you got from the school. Right? That's what they're giving you. That's the whole thing. That's your degree. So that would be the natural thing. Right? That would be the natural thing.
Yes.
No?
Yes,
so why would they want to do that? That's just attachment. And so if that does happen, then you give it a little bit more time before they get second until they straighten it out. Because the point is the advantage is that you're engaged in Krishna's service. And by being in Krishna's service, then you can move forward in that service. And the point is these Hindu-Bindu things that they've known from before, they're not giving them satisfaction. So why would they think now that we can use them now?
Yes.
You know, it's just like, okay, they're using Hindu-Bindu stuff. And those who come from outside of India, they have another set of conditioning. So would you want them to start using those? No. So then why is it your ones are special? Oh, we're Indian. Yeah, so what? So is that dog in the street. He's also Indian. That banana tree over here, there, that's Indian also. You know, so what's so special? Unless it's in line with the parampara, following the shastra in line with parampara, what's the point? That was the whole thing, what we started today, the discussion, is that, you know, Prabhupada makes this point. Okay, real spiritual knowledge has to be received from revealed scriptures. After this knowledge is attained, one can begin to perceive his actual spiritual life, not after this knowledge is attained, one to begin to live in his previous lifestyle. It doesn't say that. Any knowledge achieved by speculation is imperfect. So if it's imperfect, how will it give you knowledge of the perfect absolute? One must receive knowledge from the parampara system and from the guru. Otherwise, one will be bewildered and will ultimately become an impersonalist. So therefore, that's why you have all those things. So what? There's a million bogus gurus and this and that in India. It's the land of gurus. You know what I'm saying? They're the original self-help gurus, right?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, do some yoga for health or go out in the morning or sit in the early morning sunrise, or, you know, I mean, they go on and on and on about this. So this idea of you know, that self-help gurus, that's always been there. You know, that's why India is so good at it. So the point is whatever that you gain from previously, that the shastras then support, and the acharyas say that's what we should be doing, that's what you do. And if it's not recommended by the acharyas and by that, why would one want to get involved in that? Why would one want to do that? You know? Otherwise, do you want the Westerners to go back into their purva samskar?
Actually, people have like somehow this is so much sentimental, like they somehow if they don't do that previous they remove the demigods from the altar or something, okay, something bad happened to them, that fear of this thing.
Okay, that's there, but then the point is those are should be considerations. You know, I mean, if that's the consideration, then okay, maybe why they're getting initiated in the first place. You know, the point is what does that mean? They're all the demigods, they're all in Krishna, they're all coming from Krishna, they're just officers. So all we're saying is that in this case, you only have to deal with the prime minister, and everything that any other minister can do can get done by the prime minister. In other words, the prime minister, it's by his authority that any other minister can function,
yes,
right? The prime minister is remaining in one place, right?
Yes.
However long it is, 4 years, 5 years, whatever, right? Yes. Now, other ministers, someone's home minister, someone is, you know, railway minister, someone else's, you know, this, but that keeps changing every so many months or every so many, that changes,
yes,
right? So for these demigods, 14 times in one day of Brahma, 14, they change. So then, you know, and so where does that power come from that it works? It's from Krishna. You can say oh yes, we used to worship and this and that. Okay, then put them on the side there and you keep them over on the side, worship Krishna. And when you're finished, then the remnants you can give to those demigods. But don't think you have to worship those demigods. You know, but still, even that is not necessary.
It's not.
But at least they can start there. You know, they understand that like that. You know, because they say something wrong. What is this wrong? What wrong will go on?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? When they say wrong means it's not prosperous. Wrong. What about wrong mean polluted consciousness?
Yes.
You know, why is it wrong means it won't be materially auspicious? How you say shub lab, right?
Yes.
That's the idea, right? And so, yeah. So then it has to be understood as what about trying to please Krishna? That's what gives the real benefit. Because otherwise, those who worship demigods, they'll go to the demigods. Those who worship Krishna, go to Krishna. You know, the idea, oh, well, we'll do both. How can you do both?
Yes. Thank you, Maharaj.
But you just, these things have to be discussed regularly.
Yes, Maharaj.
You know, we're so busy with other things, but this is what should be discussed.
Actually, the training, most important is, like, once they get initiated, they feel that they are completely or not fully trained. But the training is forever. Like,
yeah, I remember we had one gentleman. He came to the movement when he was 72. And he was, you know, was active as a young man. Very, you know, like that. And so in the beginning, when he was in there, you know, whatever he had to do and this and that, he did everything. He was the most submissive guy I've ever seen. Did everything, you know, this, that, did everything perfectly, whatever he was supposed to do, he did it. But as soon as he got initiated, he says, okay, now I'm part of the thing. Now he starts to complain why we're doing this, why that, and this and that, and this is nonsense. And so it's a typical, you know, Hindu thing.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm sure anywhere else is they think that they're great, they know everything also. They just don't have the background. So there must be preaching on pure devotional service and these kind of things. And about that position of Krishna and the demigods and their relationship, you know, and these kind of aspects. Yeah, because they're servants of God. We respect them for that, but we're not going to worship them because they're a demigod. We don't worship demigods. So we'll respect them. We don't disrespectful. If they want to offer the remnants that, you know, this deity has been in our family for the last, you know, three generations, fine. That's that deity. What about all those other pictures? They haven't been in your family for three generations, no?
Yes.
Isn't it? Yeah. So like that, they have that Shiva deity or this. So then put them on the side and whatever is left from Krishna's worship, then offer it to him as a devotee, not as a demigod.
That's fine.
You know, so on the side, yeah, why not? They're servants of the Lord.
Yes,
right?
Thank you,
okay, so I hope. Two twenty-five, 122 to 130. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, quoting Lord Krishna, "It is therefore the duty of every man in every country, in every circumstance, and at all times to approach a bona fide spiritual master, question him about devotional service, and listen to him explain the process. A person interested in transcendental knowledge must therefore always directly and indirectly inquire about it to know about the all-pervading truth." Footnote 80. This is quotation Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.36. It's the fourth verse of the Chakra Shloki. So remember, he said this is the application, the Abhideya. Right? So in that, you're getting two verses on Sambandha, then you're getting Prayojana, and then Abhideya. You know, in one sense, also all those three, what's Krishna's position as Brahman, as Paramatma, and as Bhagavan? But Bhagavan is the goal. So that's why then that third verse, it establishes Krishna's position as separate from the material energy, as separate from, you know, controlling the universes like this, and the same and establishes his transcendental position. Right? So then you're trying to come to that position of worshiping Krishna. The supreme affection for me is called love of Godhead, and that is the ultimate goal of life, prayojana. Let me explain by practical example the natural characteristics of such love. The five material elements are existing inside and outside of every living entity. Similarly, I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, am manifest within the heart of the devotee as well as outside his body. As the material elements enter the bodies of all living beings and yet remain outside them all, I exist within all material creations and yet am not within them. Footnote 81. This is a quotation from the Srimad Bhagavatam 2935. It is the third verse of the Chaturshloki. So that's the whole point, is that aspect, Krishna, who's beyond all this, right? The demigods, they're in the material nature. Right? They're part of it. They're under the modes like that. You know, as Vaishnava, those who are, you know, to their degree of their Vaishnava development, then they move forward. So they may be antarmukh, they may be facing the Lord. You know, but that's the point. They're devotees who, you know, have that attachment to management and nice facilities and stuff like that, prestige, all that. So this one, then the third one is the prayojana. A highly elevated devotee can bind me, the Supreme Personality of God, in his heart by love. Wherever he looks, he sees me and nothing else. Hari, quote, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who destroys everything inauspicious for his devotees, does not leave the hearts of his devotees, even if they remember and chant about him inattentively. This is because the rope of love always binds the Lord within the devotees' hearts. Such devotees should be accepted as most elevated. 82. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.55. A person advanced in devotional service sees within everything the soul of souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he always sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes and understands that all things are situated in him. 83. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.45. So everything's situated in him. That means he's separate from that. Right, so that's the whole point. Is Krishna? He is there. He's dealing with everything, but he's beyond all these things. And so that aspect of the Lord, that's what you're trying to attain, because everything being within him means it's his energy. So that the Sarupa of the Lord, he contains everything. So it's that person who is there, who's separate from the energies, that's the one that you're worshiping. That was the point made earlier by Jiva Goswami, is that you're, unless it was in here, that the point is you're looking for the absolute truth. So the absolute truth is that object that's beyond all the energies, right? Beyond all the energies, what's left, that's Krishna. So he's the source of all these energies. Quote, all the gopis assembled to chant the transcendental qualities of Krishna very loudly. They began to wander from one forest to another like mad women. They began to inquire about the Lord, who is situated in all living entities, internally and externally. Indeed, they even asked all the plants and vegetables about him, the Supreme Person. Right? So this whole point is that they're looking for that Supreme Person who's beyond all these things in the third verse. But at the same time, is in all times, all places, and all circumstances, the fourth verse, the Abhideya, you see the gopis are following. Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.34. The gopis almost went mad due to Krishna suddenly leaving the rasa dance. Because the gopis were fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, they were imitating his different postures and pastimes. They became very much saddened because of his absence. And this incident is explained by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikit. 225, 131, 135. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Thus, one's relationship with the Lord, Sambandha, activities in devotional service, Abhideya, and the attainment of the highest goal of life, Prayojana, love of Godhead, are the subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. Quote, the absolute truth is known by the self-realized soul as a unified identity known by different names, impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, footnote 84. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1, 2, 11. Quote, before the cosmic manifestation was created, the creative propensity was merged in the Supreme Lord's person. At that time, all potencies and manifestations were preserved in his personality. The Lord is the cause of all causes, and he is all-pervading, self-sufficient person. Before the creation, he existed with his spiritual potency in the spiritual world, wherein various Vaikuntha planets are manifested. Footnote 85. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.5.23. Quote, all these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. In every age, he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. 86. This is a quotation of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28. So many incarnations are listed there. And having listed them all, then there are portions of or parts of portions of the expansions, the Purusha avatars. But the point is, Krishna is the original. He's before all that. So that's the point you're trying to get to, that aspect of the Lord, that feature, his original feature. So that's the ultimate goal. This is one's eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sambandha. Now please hear about the execution of devotional service, Abhideya. This principle pervades each and every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So now the Abhideya is saying every verse of Bhagavatam has some aspect of applying yourself to Krishna. Because even if you're talking about knowing Krishna, knowledge about Krishna, but still there's going to be the aspect of how you apply it. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam is known as the mature fruit, because mature means vijnana. Vijnana means application. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted, Lord Krishna said, being very dear to the devotees and sadhus, I am attained through unflinching faith and devotional service. This bhakti yoga system, which gradually increases attachment for me, purifies even a human being born among dog ears. That is to say, everyone can be elevated to the spiritual platform by the process of bhakti yoga. 87. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.21. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, said, my dear Uddhava, neither through Ashtanga yoga, the mystic yoga system to control the senses, nor through impersonal monism or an analytical study of the absolute truth, nor through study of the Vedas, nor through austerities, charity, or acceptance of sannyas, can one satisfy me as much as by developing unalloyed devotional service unto me. Right? Because those other religious processes, they're there to gain a goal. But what's the goal? The goal has to be Krishna's pleasure. So if any of these are being done for Krishna's pleasure, that part, that's the part that pleases Krishna. The medium that's being used, that's not as important. When the living entity is attracted by the material energy, which is separate from Krishna, he is overpowered by fear. Because he is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the material energy, his conception of life is reversed. In other words, instead of being the eternal servant of Krishna, he becomes Krishna's competitor. This is called viparyayosmitihi. To nullify this mistake, one who is actually learned and advanced worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his spiritual master, worshipable deity and source of life. He thus worships the Lord by the process of unalloyed devotional service. Footnote 89. This quotation of Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.37. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Now hear from me what actually love of Godhead is. It is the prime object of life, prayojana, and is symptomized by bodily trembling, tears in the eyes, chanting and dancing." Quote, "Pure devotees manifest spiritual bodily symptoms of ecstatic love simply by remembering and reminding others of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who takes away everything inauspicious from the devotee. This position is attained by rendering devotional service according to the regular principles and then rising to the platform of spontaneous love." Footnote 90. This is quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.31. When a person is actually advanced, so it says, according to the regular principles. So you're following those, then gradually you'll come to the platform of spontaneous love, right? But that spontaneous love means you're functioning within the recommendations of the acharyas, because you can say, it's no, but I should be free to do whatever I want. But there is nothing in the world that works that you just do whatever you want. No, the choices, it means you have choice. You have choice within what actually functions within that particular context of whatever you're doing, right? You know, it's just like, let's say you're swimming. So if you're swimming, where does swimming happen, right? Right? It famously happens in water, right? And so then it has to be enough water that you can swim in. It should be clean water that you would like to swim in, like the rats swim in the sewer. But that's not where the human being would like to be swimming. So therefore, you know, down at the ocean, down at the river, down at the lake, you know, that's clean and nice. It's not full of, you know, crocodiles or piranhas or, you know, something like that. And then it's nice. Also sharks, no sharks. And probably you want to avoid jellyfish also, yeah. So all those different aspects like that, then make it work very nice. And then, you know, you want to go swimming or not, but if you do, you have to go in the water. You could sit on the bank, but if you want to swim, you have to go in the water. You can't say, no, I'm just going to swim here on the land. You know, I'm really enjoying this swimming. You know, it's just, no, it's not a matter of whimsical. It's always within the context of whatever is going, whatever is recommended by the acharyas, right? That's an important aspect to appreciate. So therefore, that's why the Vaidhi Bhakti is there, because the Vaidhi is restricting you to activities that are actually useful in Krishna consciousness, either directly useful or directly supportive, or they're neutrally supportive, right? But those that are not useful for developing spontaneous devotional service, or those that are opposed to devotional service, those are left, you know. So then those aren't used by the devotees. So sadhana bhakti is simply the vaidhi, is simply the rules and regulations of those things that are useful in spontaneous devotional service. Anything not useful has already been taken out by the acharyas. So this idea that, oh, vaidhi is a bad thing, but why are we saying vaidhi is a bad thing? Is it coming from the position of Vaidhi being a bad thing? Or is it coming from the position of, no, but spontaneous devotional service is beyond Vaidhi. And, you know, and that means that being beyond means it's better. And being better is a matter of position and status and authority. And that's what I want. And so therefore, I have to be on that spontaneous platform. You know? Is it something that's naturally coming, come to step by step? Or is it a matter of, I see it as a prestige? Someone has to be very careful, or you're getting something secret that no one else is getting, so you're exclusive and you're special, you know, like that. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. Right? So here's a who is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name. So those are symptoms that are there. If those symptoms aren't there, it's not a matter of, you know, you do this or that and you'll be more advanced. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated and chants like a madman, not caring for outsiders. 91. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.40. Srimad Bhagavatam gives the actual meaning of the Vedanta Sutra. The author of the Vedanta Sutra is Vyasadeva, and he himself has explained these aphorisms in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Quote, the meaning of the Vedanta Sutra is present in Srimad Bhagavatam. The author of the Vedanta Sutras, Vyasadeva, and he himself has explained those aphorisms in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he wrote the Vedanta Sutra, he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he explained whatever is in Vedanta Sutra in Srimad Bhagavatam. Quote, the meaning of the Vedanta Sutra is present in Srimad Bhagavatam. The full purport of the Mahabharata is also there. The commentary of the Brahma Gayatri is also there. And fully explained with all Vedic knowledge. Like full purport of the Mahabharata is also there, right? So we see the first canto, then it goes through and explains the Mahabharata from the position of pure devotional service, all in the context of devotional service to the Lord. So by that, then you actually understand Mahabharata. Then with that, if you read the other chapters of, you know, and other episodes in Mahabharata, with that context, then you'll see it properly. But if you don't see it from the purport of the Mahabharata as the Bhagavatam, then it won't bring you to the devotional platform. The commentary of the Brahma Gayatri is also there and fully expanded with all knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam is the Supreme Purana. And it was compiled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnation as Vyasadeva. There are 12 cantos, 335 chapters, and 18,000 verses, footnote 92. This is a quotation from the Garuda Purana. The essence of all Vedic literature and all histories has been collected in Srimad Bhagavatam. So whatever is important in all the Vedic literatures is in Bhagavatam. So there's something more that's essential. There may be some nice details, some practical details that can also be used. But if those points aren't seen in the context of the direction given in Srimad Bhagavatam, then one can very easily get distracted. Right? Because the point is, as we said, the descending, the principle is up, then details come. But if you, as you see that I'm performing this detail because it does these things that gets me up to this principle, right? And that principle is loving Krishna, right? So as the detail comes down, wherever I am, okay, I'm here. How does that connect all the way back? But if we make the mistake of the modern and take this and turn it upside down, we think, oh, I've gone out to this detail. I'm more advanced than anybody else. That's a fool. Because it's actually like this. So after you're doing, then you're going to say he's a scholar. He knows so many things. He's very clever. He's, you know, all these different things. But if at any point he doesn't see it connected to Krishna and thinks, yes, I'm advanced because I know so much detail, then we have the same position as Rama Harsha and the Sutta. Right? Instead of Balaram removing material desires, he just touched them with a kusa grass. So we want to avoid that one. movement. Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam was collected by the incarnation of God, Vyasadeva. It was later taught to his son, Sukadeva Goswami. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.41. Right, so this essence of all Vedic literature and all histories has been collected in Srimad Bhagavatam. So any other history, because sometimes, but this story is different, and what's that mean? And it's different than Bhagavatam, but you have to see it in line. The essence has been already given in the Vedic literature. You see how it comes in line with the Bhagavatam. Just because it's a different detail doesn't mean it's... You know what I'm saying? Okay, let us say we have a cauliflower and paneer sabji. Okay, you've had it. The cauliflower is cut this big. Paneers are cut about that big. You go to someone else's house and the paneer is this big. Cauliflower is that big. You go to someone else's house and the cauliflower is cut this big. And then the paneer might be another thing, or they've taken and mushed it up, rolled it into balls and put muscle and then deep fried it. And now it's a ball like that. So some people's mind, this is a completely different subject. You know, I'm freaking out. You hear one place is smaller, the paneer, another it's bigger. And this one, it's not even a cube. It's a ball. You know, I mean, how am I supposed to understand? That's the problem. Like that. You have to see it in context of Srimad Bhagavatam, what the acharyas give. Bhagavatam, you know, these points that Lord Chaitanya makes, then the acharyas are going to give the, you know, the essence of this and in line with this. So therefore, we see as Lord Chaitanya is giving the principles, the Goswamis are then documenting them to us. Oh, boy. Oh, we're over the time anyway. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.